welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
I just want to say thank you again to the preachers, the team of preachers. Had quite a few. We had the terrific trio of Les and Matt and Caleb one week. We had Byron preaching, and Byron's preaching again next week. Did you know that? Hudson preached last week, and so that was great because he started our new series on financial foundations, which sinks into what we'll talk more about next week, and we'll have some details about our Vision Builders program and how we've progressed over the years and where we're heading and some of the initiatives that we're looking at doing with finances. And so we're teaching on this so we can build foundations so that we can deal with money in a healthy, godly way. And Hudson mentioned last week, the first of those foundations is, of course, having the right attitude towards money, because some people love it and it can shipwreck your faith, the Bible says. It can ruin your life. But some people are afraid of it in response to that or reaction to that, and so they sort of think, it's bad stuff and I better have just very little of it, and they don't use it properly. And then, you know, if you get the right attitude towards it, then you're a steward. You're not afraid of it. You don't chase after and lust after it. You just use it well, and God can entrust you with plenty of it because you're using it well, which leads to the next building block, if you like, and this is not always completely sequential, but faith is a real key part of how we deal with finances, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You may know this. In fact, if our Bible students don't know it already, Bible college students, we must add it as one of our scripture memory verses as part of our Bible college team. So this simply says, for we, that is Jesus followers, Christians, live by faith, not by sight. Basically two ways to live. Live according to your senses, your own grey matter, decision-making capabilities, or you can step into this supernatural way of living, really, by living by faith in the supernatural God, by trusting in him. Some translations say we walk by faith. So the Christian lifestyle or progress or journey, people always talk about, oh, I'm on my journey. Well, I trust. I spoke to a young woman just yesterday. She said, oh, I'm not really in church and grew up in there. And I just said, well, we're all on our journey. You've got to discover your journey yourself, not live off your parents' faith or go to church just because someone tells you to, but hopefully her journey will lead her to discovering Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. And then that journey really goes in a great direction when you have faith in God. It doesn't necessarily make it an easier life, but it's a greater life. It's God's ways, higher than our ways, and we tap into that by living by faith, yeah, trusting in him. And so we are called to trust God in every area of our life, including our finances, and that plays out in a number of ways. Just want to mention three obvious, clear ways that that relates to our financial world when we put our faith in God. The first one is that faith in God will help you prosper. And when I say prosper, I'm not using an American word made up by some crazy preacher with big hair, a white suit, and a private jet. All right? I mean, that's kind of the image sometimes. It's a Bible word. It's a Bible promise. There are many passages in Scripture that reveal God's will for his people to prosper. Just say the word prosper. Say prosperity. No lightning bolt. It's okay. You know, it's not a rude word. It's not a bad word. It is a God word, a Bible word. Now, of course, there are excesses. There is always some crazy buffheads representing God that, you know, frustrates the rest of Christendom. And that doesn't mean we, you know, avoid the truth. and the full gospel. So, for example, 3 John verse 2, this is one of many passages in the New King James. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So John, an apostle, godly man, praying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in line with God's will for believers to prosper. Again, just a simple, strong word. But notice he says, as your soul prospers. So it starts with your soul, and you receive salvation and forgiveness and freedom and a spirit of overcoming and navigating your way through life, following Jesus. And then that flows, that prosperity in your soul flows into every area of your life, including your finances, your health, your relationships, your career, your character growth, hopefully, your ministry for God. You know, these should all prosper under God's hand. And as I said, including finances. So this doesn't mean, of course, that life is smooth, life is easy, that it's just like tiptoe through the tulips, snapping your fingers, you know, automatic Midas touch, blessing of God, whatever. But it does mean that, because there's times that are rough, problematic, difficult, challenging, it just means that God's promises still stand in those times, and faith stands on those promises, and that's where faith kicks in, because we trust in God's promises over our circumstances in spite of the current situation. Yeah, and so rather than just having sort of a very weak, fatalistic kind of faith, oh well, I guess I'm going to heaven when I die if I'm a good person and I trust in God, sort of, and but everything else just sort of hits me and knocks me about in life. No, faith kicks in when we see God's promises and his children say, "Thank you, Lord, for this promise. By faith, I'm going to believe for that." And there's sometimes a bit of a faith battle to see that fulfilled. But we see, okay, just because circumstances aren't in our favor doesn't mean this is always the way it's going to be. Because I see this in scripture, so I'm going to pray for that to happen in my life. So even if you face a financial crisis, you can get through it if you put your faith in God. And many of us have had some pretty challenging financial situations and you've stood and trusted in God and he's got you through it. And we have stories of that in our life, in our church life. When we go to places like Vietnam and Bali, we are always hearing stories of people who have been rescued from dire straits by trusting in God. Sometimes really, really dire financial, you know, extreme poverty. And they've just been blessed by the grace of God and their faith in his provision, and they're okay. And back in Australia, I've got a friend who is a businessman, and years ago, he's doing very well in the IT industry. He, not in this church, just so you're not looking around thinking. He was supplying specialised hardware and software to big companies and computer stuff. And he had one huge deal that he had committed money to that went south. The supplier went bust. He lost the money that he had put forward. And so it left him out of pocket so much that he was right on the brink of bankruptcy. And it was just a terrible circumstance. He had a wife, three kids who were young at the time, had a house with a mortgage, but he was unable to pay the mortgage payments. So the bank started circling. They were moving to sell the house from under him to cover their debt. And so it was very stressful. But as a Christian, he cried out to God. He could feel the fear of collapse, of losing everything, but he overcame it with faith. And he said he would walk around the house at night when the wife and kids were asleep, and he would cry out to God. He would pray and he would read and proclaim God's promises of provision in spite of the storm that he was in. And then he got led to one deal that he felt would rescue him, and he needed to do an audacious thing he had never done before. And it was on selling this massive IBM computer system worth millions of dollars that he would install and then get his share of the deal to the buyer. And he had done this before, but he had always put the money down to the purchase, to the IBM company before he would on sell it. But he had no money to put down this time. So he realised what he would have to do is actually ask for the system to be delivered with an invoice that he would pay later, which apparently is never done in that industry, and he had never done it, and he didn't know anyone had ever tried it. He told me how he picked up the phone to make the call a number of times and just put it down. He just couldn't do it. He just thought, oh, no, they're just going to ask why. What do you mean? Why? He didn't want to say why. He didn't want to let them know that he was right on the brink. And so he just prayed. He finally just felt, you know, the strength to make the phone call. He prayed for God's favour. He spoke to the big boss at IBM and tried to, as calmly as he could, just say what he needed. I'd just like to order the XYZ, you know, system that's worth millions of dollars. Can you just invoice me? I'll fix you up later. And the guy said yes. He couldn't believe it because he just was expecting the guy to say, well, hang on, we don't do that. And why would you ask for that? Da, da, da. Anyway, the deal went through. The business survived. He rebuilt his business to great success, sold it years later and comfortably retired on the sale of the business, you know. So point is, don't get overcome by stress. If you're a Jesus follower, when finances get tight, you just get into faith, yeah, and you get ready to see God provide because the promises are there for us to put our faith in, yeah? Because God, you know, he actually allows us to face battles in life. You know, that's not part of the contract. You know, you read John 3:16 and people witness to you and you just go, you didn't read the fine print, did you? You just go, yeah, wow, it's going to be awesome. Give my life to Jesus. The first few weeks or months, you're just on cloud nine. Everything you pray for happens instantly. I remember Pastor Phil Pringle saying this. He reckons it's God's way of encouragement to people get on the right track, that he just allows like miraculous, easy answers to prayer. But then God allows life to sort of kick in. It's like, okay, we've got God on our side, but we're still living on planet Earth and we're still mortal and there's still issues and there's still sometimes financial struggles and other struggles. But, you know, when we have those struggles, they're good for us because they force us into God's presence. They get us to press into him and to put our faith in him, and you see that in scripture and in history. You know, like Goliath thought he was going to kill David, but God knew better. God actually, you know, Goliath was not sent to kill David. Goliath was sent to reveal David, because it's only through that interaction, when David faced the giant and defeated him, that David came to the attention of King Saul, which was the beginning of David's elevation to eventually lead of all of Israel and become their greatest king. But it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't had the battle against Goliath. And so God will use situations and battles in our life to help us grow and to reveal who we are in him and to see the word and the fulfillment of his word fulfilled in our lives, yeah? And so that's why the Bible calls it a good fight of faith. It's a fight sometimes, but it's a good fight because we can overcome. And in overcoming, we realize and build our faith that God is our provider. You know, that it's not the government, it's not your boss, it's not the bank, it's not great Aunt Mabel, who, you know, has promised so much but won't die. And, you know, I'm speaking hypothetically, you'll be pleased to know. I know someone who in that situation. They had an aunt, she had no children, and not in your family, but you know, someone we know. And she was going to leave it all to the nieces and the nephews. Yeah, and so we knew one of the people who was the niece or the nephew, and she was wealthy, and she just lived forever. Yeah, you know. She got a terrible illness. But yeah, like a life-ending illness, but it didn't end the life. Like most people would last months, you know, and the doctors told her, you're going to die. And she just went, all right, great. And she basically had told the kids, this is what you're getting, you know. They were like, let's go looking for a house, you know. And, I don't know if they were talking to real estate agents or putting deposits down, you know, but anyway, and she just stuck around forever. So don't count on great Aunt Mabel. God might just keep her around for another 60 years just to keep your faith in him, not in her. Yeah. And so, you know, it's not your business, as hard as you work. That's great. I heard Maddie give a great offering word in one of the Sundays we were away, we were watching, about believing that scripture from the Old Testament that God gives you the power to gain wealth, you know, and confirm the covenant with him. And so we have natural means of earning an income or getting money, and God uses them all, but ultimately he's the provider that we trust in, yes? And faith, of course, is the means by which we unlock that divine supernatural blessing and provision. So faith will help you prosper. Number two, faith helps you focus. And what I mean by that is prioritizing correctly in life. Because when you put your faith in God and you're determined to follow him, it's not just about him blessing you. It's about you following him, following his financial and other principles for living. Godly ways of living, godly ways of dealing with your money and serving him rather than serving money. As Jesus said, you can't serve both. He said, it's impossible. You can't serve money and serve God. You're going to have to decide. So we serve God. Oh, and of course there's money there, but it's a tool that we use rather than something we bow down to or chase after. And so, you know, faith helps us because let's face it, many people don't need any faith just to get by financially. We live in a land of amazing opportunities. You know, you can get educated, you can train for a great career. If you can't afford it, the government will help you. Someone will lend you money or you'll find a way to get, you know, free or supported education of some kind. Or you can start your own business, there's opportunities. Or you can just work really hard and work your way up. You can work for an organization, government department, a private business, you know, and you can get rewarded well for your work. So even without God, you can get a pretty good life in Australia, just making good decisions, working hard, saving hard, buy the house, get the car, you know, pay for your nice holidays, eat the finest seafood in the world, incredibly clean, fresh waters. Been offered fish in a couple of places in Asia. I think I told you, I preached in a church once. And they said, what are we having for lunch? They wanted to stay for lunch. First of all, they said, can you stay for lunch? And I said yes. I shouldn't have said yes because I said yes. What are we having? Then they showed me out the back of the church this cesspool. There's no other word for it. But proudly said, here, this is where we're catching our fish for lunch. And then I remembered that thing that I had to get to after church. I'd forgotten, but I suddenly remembered I had to be on the other side of town in like 45 minutes. So I took a rain check on the lunch. Because honestly, I know fish have got filter systems, you know, but they would be working overtime there, you know, in that place. You just wouldn't know what you're eating, you know. But we are so blessed in Australia, you know, come on. And we've got great coffee, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you can get all that without faith in God. Just work hard, make good decisions. But without faith, you'll miss your destiny. Your pockets might be lined with cash, but your financial comfort's not going to help you when you die. You're still going to face eternity. And without walking by faith, you might walk the wrong way in terms of using your money in the best possible way. I mean, you might tip a few charities along the way, but you'll tend to live for yourself. You'll still have just pretty much a self-centered view of the world. And that's living short of how you can live when you follow the Lord and how you use your hard-earned cash well. So when we walk by faith, that faith leads us to prayer, to press into God's presence, to delve into his word. And that's where God speaks to us and shows us, these are the principles that I should live by. This is, a spirit of wisdom and discernment that comes into my life to know how to invest what I earn. And of course, he moves on us with also the spirit of generosity so that we give to his house, to his work, to missions programs that are changing lives, to initiatives that are, you know, really making a difference, to people who are in need. I spoke to a man recently, again, not here, from another church. He told me how years ago his business was struggling. Wasn't the same guy, different guy. And he wasn't a Christian. But then he became a Christian and he went to church and he started hearing teaching about tithing and giving. And he's an all-in kind of guy and he just thought, right, I'm going to give. I'm going to tithe. But his wife wasn't a Christian. And he knew that his wife would not approve. He's going to be one of those 10%ers or, you know, you're giving your money to the church because finances are really tight. Their business was very, very shaky. So I don't recommend this, but he started tithing, but he didn't tell his wife because, you know, I mean, he hadn't learned everything as a Christian about being honest and open, you know, with his spouse. So he started tithing and he didn't tell her. But then the business really started to improve for no rational reason. Because everything was the same in the marketplace and their supply and dealings and what they were doing. And she wondered why. And then he felt brave enough to say, well, I'll tell you what I've been doing. You know, I've actually been, you know, the church I've been going to, what? I've been tithing. I've been giving money. And she thought, great, it works. So it approved, you know, he got her approval. At that point, she wasn't a Christian. But they both agreed. Well, that's the key. That's what turned the business around, you know. So he was just doing things God's way and it was working for him. And of course, also a blessing on the other end of who he's giving to. So faith, as I said, really helps us track correctly with godly principles and prioritize correctly. Thirdly, he's still awake, right? I mean, if we're a stickler for time, we'd be finishing in 3 minutes. But hey, I've been in Asia. And we're just warming up, baby. And just be glad we're getting through twice the content because I'm not stopping all the time for an interpreter. Which actually makes it better because you've got time to think. So I find it harder when I come back. I want to preach in sound bites, but you're all staring at me and I have to come up with something to say. So thirdly, faith helps you increase. Now, when I say increase, I don't mean about your blessing. I mean faith stretches us to go beyond the comfort zone. And this is true with your gifts that you just might keep to yourself, but God calls you to use them to bless people. With your time, again, very easy to just use, it's my time, it's my time. We'll talk about my time. It's got to be about me. It's, I'm so busy, it's my time. It's all very easy to just be selfish, but it's faith in God stretches like, what about using your time to reach out, help, make a difference, serve him, you know. And so again, with our finances, faith stretches us, stirs us to go beyond what is sometimes seemingly impossible into what is only possible for God. Taking beyond the natural realm of what we would do with our money. And so this is powerful because, as I said, money's a powerful tool. In the right hands, the more of it, the better things can be with what that tool can do. And so it's not, again, not a bad thing if people have got their heart right, their motivations right, to just have more of it. And so, for instance, in business, someone might be ticking along and just saying, well, this is fine, I've just got enough and all that. But the Lord can stir that business person to stretch, not just to line their own pockets, not just to buy a fourth boat or whatever, you know, but to really feel like, oh, I just have a vision for that missions agency. Oh, I want to really make a contribution to God's work here or to bless those people there. And so they're stretched, but they're stretched for good purposes. They're increasing, not just for themselves. Because if you live with, conversely, you know, you can live with fear, and with doubt, with no faith in God, and that keeps people poor and stingy because you're just thinking, I've got to get by, it's just enough for me, and you know, it doesn't bless them living like that, and it doesn't help them to be a blessing on others. And so some Christians, you know, this is why I said there's nothing wrong with prosperity, because sadly some Christians afraid of prosperity have said some dumb things like, oh, well, I just need just enough. Just enough for what? well, just enough for me, just for me and my family. Well, that's really selfish, isn't it? Well, hang on, what do you mean? I just don't want to be, you know, caught by the lure of wealth, and love of money is all kinds of evil. Yeah, that's the love of money, but that doesn't mean having the money itself is a bad thing. If you don't love it, you just use it. And so, you know, I've heard people say, oh, God will meet your needs, but not your greeds. Oh, and it's like this reactionary kind of buffhead, silly, immature approach to dealing with true godly prosperity. That's why I like to talk about prosperity with a purpose, with God's purposes, not just for me. It's, you know, it's not about me. It's about what I can do. Because look at the mission field. Look at the money, the barley team. You know, how much money the Australian dollar earns on, you know, those food packs were like a week's worth of food, and that's not $421 or whatever it would cost in Australia, you know, because that would take a lot of giving to go. We're not, you know, doing mission trips to New Zealand. I mean, you know, God bless the Kiwis, but, you know, they can pay their own flipping rice, you know. Our dollar earns good value, you know, in developing countries. And so it is good. And so therefore we believe for good, godly prosperity, not just for the blessing, but to be a blessing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And this is why God wants you to have an abundance, not for yourself. Look, God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Not an abundance just to, you know, be selfish, but to do God's work, to give to God's work. And then again, that same chapter, a couple of verses later, you will be enriched, verse 11, you'll be enriched. That's not a bad thing. Because in everything, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Is that all you got? That's New King James. NIV says it this way. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's the liberality thing. For all liberality. So that you can be generous on every occasion. So, you know, that's the classic example of this is, of course, when God gives a church a vision for either a missions initiative or a building program to secure a property for the future generations and for the community. And there's stretching and faith required for people who are involved in that. And, of course, the Bible says we don't give under compulsion. That's one of our values here. So we invite people to consider and prayerfully look at what they might want to contribute. No pressure. But there is an exciting dynamic when you get involved in God's work, and it may be a bit of a stretch, and you feel like, well, I want to give this much. I know one couple who I am looking at, who is in the church, who, you know, had some disparity between one of them was just saying, I want to give this much, and the other one was like, what? No way. I was thinking like a tenth of that. And the first one just prayed, and then the other person would go, oh. You know, they ended up, and now they would pray separately and come to an agreement and go, oh, I was thinking the same value, the same amount, same pledge, same commitment. And look, we've run out of time in a sense, but, you know, when Ruth and I first met in the early 80s, Goodings were there, Les was there, back in Pastor Phil Pringle's church, and I can remember when they first had a vision, they were meeting in a rented warehouse, and he cast the vision for having a permanent home for the church. And they found land, 8 acres that I used to ride my motocross bike on, Chuck McIntyre's farm, my mate's Chuck chicken farm at Oxford Falls. And they, the McIntyres were selling. They found the land, but then they needed to build the building. Phil had, you know, international television ministry and Bible college attracting students from all over the world. They had the vision for the school. Oh, yeah, by the way, we'll just go for a brilliant high standard grammar school, which is thriving with I don't know how many thousands of children, but, you know, they've got. And 40 years later, it's all come to fruition. Incredible campus, incredible school, and all that. But it started with faith, vision, and people going, I'll stretch myself. I'll get in. And we all had to, you know, didn't have to. We're all invited to, you know, buy a chair at one point, the equivalent, each chair would represent, you know, it was like $5,000 a chair or something, and then that was finished. And they brought in this guy from America, and that was terrible. He came in and was like inviting people to make pledges and then sitting people down, adding a couple of zeros to it, putting the heat on them. Yikes. So then Pastor Phil thought, oh, I'm not doing that again. I'll do it my own way. And so then he had Rise and Build and you know, encourage people to give. And then Ruth and I made a pledge just before we went to Russia, which we didn't finish till we got back. So we're here building this church, but still paying off our commitment because it's a commitment. And, you know, part of you is thinking, well, hang on, we should give to this church now. We'll finish with that one. No. So we finished that off. And so, you know, there's exciting dynamic that goes on when there's vision that God gives. And he does this all throughout history. He doesn't just say, oh, you need a church? Boosh, there. Angels of engineering, come. There's, you know, he invites people to be involved and the faith journey with our finances and God's will. And it's not just church buildings, like I said, other initiatives and projects, missions. Let me finish by showing you a photo. This is one thing. There's Crazy Craig doing his thing. Look at the little boy down the foreground. That is Jojo. And in this church, the pastors are running an orphanage. And the pastors, Robert and Effa, got a phone call from one of their members one day. And they said, we've just found a Facebook post and parents are offering their child free for anyone who will take them off their hands because they can't look after them. And the pastor just said, right, call them, get onto them and get the child before the child traffickers do. Because that's an open invitation. You know, they steal children, but this one's just on offer. So the pastors took the child in. Next photo. There's Pastor Robert. There's little Jojo. So that's 3 years ago. They've legally adopted him fully because the parents just had no, just crazy, no desire or connection to, so they may have some connection later on, but it's up to them. And at this point, there's no way you'd want to have any connection. So the pastors are practicing what they're preaching. They're running this orphanage. They've got people, they've got kids, and they've got others. But this one particularly is just totally their adopted son now, just rescuing him from, you know, potentially a terrible, tragic life. And so, you know, these guys live by faith and trust God. And of course, people who are called and connected get, you know, supported in, support them. And of course, what a great thing that you can be involved in when you give to initiatives like that, or to compassion sponsorship, or to Wayne and Olga Czech in the Ukraine, who are missionaries with Overseas Operation Mobilization, OM. So there's a lot of things you can give to. So come to a close. Let's believe God. Yeah. Exercise your faith financially for financial provision, for prioritizing wise financial decisions, and to be a source of financial blessing to others. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today, for our gathering, for you, your love, your calling, your offer of salvation and a life of destiny and purpose. Thank you for every precious person here today, and I thank you that we can apply biblical truth and teaching to our financial world for your glory and for our blessing as well. Thank you that you lead us. Holy Spirit, speak to us in terms of, like, you know, building fund and missions, projects and individuals that we might give to, and also to have faith that you are our great provider. And we're just in a moment of prayer. I want you to consider the love of God and Jesus. If you're here today and you aren't walking with him personally, that's the greatest opportunity we all have, to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's the essence of the Christian faith. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not attending church. It's being saved from your sin, set into the family of God, and given hope of heaven and a relationship with him on the way. It's just up to us whether we decide to follow him. And so if you'd like to make that decision, I want you to come and see me at the end of the service down the front here. I'll pray a prayer with you. It's the single best decision you'll ever make in your life. Jesus, touch every heart. As I said, if that's you, come and see me. Maybe a first-time decision, or maybe a recommitment you want to make to God. Thank you, Lord, your touch and blessing on every life here today. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
In the name, Jesus, Jesus.